Good evening.
Good evening.
Welcome to the Metropolitan Holy Ghost Society. I'm Olivia Hebstrott. This week's special offer is a four-part series titled Entering the Room of Holy Ghost Worship. Simply go online at mhgs.org to download. All messages are brought to you, free of charge, by the members of the Metropolitan Holy Ghost Society and the partners of Andrew Hebstrott Ministries. Thank you for joining us.
Pray, Holy Ghost, I thank you. You are God, and you're today I worship you.
I thank you that you are able to do things beyond what we think you could even do, and you're able to manipulate things and situations to prosper us and bless us in ways we couldn't even imagine. We thank you that you are so doing even right now, in Jesus' name. Amen. So Matthew chapter 6, and let's look at, oh goodness, let's look at verse 31. Therefore, take no thought saying, say, take no thought,
take no thought.
Saying. Are you tempted to take thoughts and say something about it?
Yes.
Yeah, and look what he says. Oh, what are we gonna eat? What are we gonna drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? What does this sound like? Sounds like the cares of the world, doesn't it? So, oh, I don't know how we're gonna make it. If I think, I don't know how we're gonna make it, what do I do? That's a thought. I don't take that thought, right? And I certainly don't say it.
Right.
Say, I don't take the thought.
I don't take the thought.
And I certainly
don't say it.
Right? Because that's going to be your, you will be opposing yourself. Do you understand? Because God supplies all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Are you here?
Mm-hmm.
And if you have words that are going against him, you literally tie his hands for what he can do for you. You don't want to do that. So Jesus said, you see, this is in red letters here, right? Take no thought saying, what shall we eat, or wherewithal shall we be clothed, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed. Verse 32, for after all of these things, say things, do the Gentiles seek. Now, do Gentiles seek things? They're seeking those things. They're working for those things. Those things are the most important things to them. Right?
Yes.
Do you understand that?
Yes.
He says, after all these things do the Gentiles seek for your heavenly Father. He says, don't do it that way. Your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. Say, God knows.
God knows.
I need these things. God knows I need those things. Say, God knows I need those things. He knows I need those things. Right? He knows. Does your Bible say that?
Yes.
He says he knows you need those things, but he has a way for you to do it that's not the way the Gentiles do it. Are you still here?
Yes.
You want to rip this one out of your Bible? Verse 33, but seek ye, he's going to tell you how to get it, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and what and all the things will be added to you. What things do you suppose he's talking about? Something else now, right? No, he's talking about the same things that you were worried about before will be added to you if you seek him second. If you seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness first. And here's the key to being blessed by God financially. What is it? Am I making this up? He says to seek first, put his kingdom first, not second, not last. A lot of people don't like that. When you go, oh, I'm gonna put God first before everything else, right? What does that set me up for? God's kingdom, his righteousness being manifest unto me. Is this any fun yet? But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, or his way of doing and being right, which was part of what he said earlier about don't say the wrong thing. Saying the right thing is his righteousness. Putting him first is his righteousness, right? And all these things shall be added unto you. Is God a liar?
No.
Or is that true? Do you suppose that if I do this and I put his kingdom first, not last, not after, you know what last is, right? It's after everything else.
That's right?
Right? Mm-hmm. It's like I felt on the way driving up here, I got to that red light after everybody else. I wished I was first, maybe I could get through, and maybe I could see the parade. It's possible. But first means first. Say first.
First.
He talks about the first fruits. He talks about putting it first. And when you do that, it's a key to the kingdom. Are you here?
Yes.
If you want to prosper, are you here? I want to prosper. If I want to prosper, I need to learn how to put God's kingdom first and not come in last after everything else. You know, a lot of people don't like that. Most relationships don't like that. I like you, but you come second. Who likes that? Do you like that? No, everybody wants to be first. Are you here? How about God? Do you think he's the same way? He wants to be first, and he wants to know that he's first. Anyway, so if you want to prosper, especially God's way, put him first. And then he says, all the things will be added to you. Now look over at verse 24. I'll make this short, because what I have to say later is not as short. Chapter 6, verse 24. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. No man can serve two masters. Who said this? Jesus. Is it true?
Yes.
I can serve three masters. I'm that good. I can serve two masters. Can I?
No.
No. What does he say? Jesus here. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other. Strong words there, Jesus. Mm-hmm. Or else he will hold to. Say hold to.
Hold to
the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon means money, or money means the world system, right?
Yes.
So when God's saying put me first, he means put me before the world system. Are you here?
Mm-hmm.
And he said all things will be added unto you. Well, and then he says you despise the other one. Lots of times what happens if you don't put him first, you start to resent it and you start to despise it. Are you here?
Yes.
Anyway, so what you need to do, let's go to Deuteronomy 8:18, and we'll try to wrap this up. Really, I'm trying to give you some faith by which to give by. And I appreciate it. I plan on giving. Mm. Hallelujah. Deuteronomy 8. See, now I believe in prosperity, and I believe that God is the one that prospers. You got to get through your head. Who prospers you? God does. So does it make sense to have him first? Right?
Yes.
If he's the one prospering you, right?
Mm-hmm.
Say, get this through my head.
Get this through my head.
God
is the one
prospering me.
Prospering me.
Do you want him to prosper you more?
Mm.
Yeah, we got to do it his way. Now look here. Where am I going to read?
18.
Yeah, that's good. Deuteronomy 8. Let's go look at verse 17 first. But thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of my hand has gotten me this wealth. Me, this wealth. My money, me, my hand got me this wealth. That's what he's saying. Are you here?
Yeah.
You see how this is opposite of what we just read? Serving God and mammon. You could be the mammon that you're serving, right?
Mm-hmm.
Say not, or... He says, thou say in thine heart, my power, the might of mine hand has got me this wealth. But thou shalt remember who? The Lord your God, for it is he that gives thee power to get wealth. Is this true? Is this in your Bible? Are you a believer of this Bible?
Yes.
Right? Well, then we got to get straight with it. We got to do it. Right? Who's your source? Right? So when I put him first, I'm entering into his kingdom, because he is the one who provides for me. And there's scriptures that say he will increase you more and more. But here it says, it is he that gives thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. So what we're doing is we're putting God first, right? We're sowing into his kingdom. And he's the one who gives us power to get wealth. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. All right. So if you have a tithe or an offering, just hold it up. Say this after me. Holy Ghost, I worship you.
Holy Ghost,
and I sow this seed into the kingdom, and you prosper me more and more. And I thank you that the tithe belongs to you, and I worship you with it in Jesus' name. Amen.
These people and their tithes and their offerings, and people even online who are partners and give. I ask your blessing to come on them, and we know your blessing makes us rich. In Jesus' name, amen.
Holy Ghost, you're God in the earth today.
So, if you have a Bible, which I'm sure you do, because you turned earlier to other things, let's go to Luke. I'm going to rattle through a bunch of stuff here this evening. Yes, amen. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word, and hearing, and hearing, and hearing. Did you know that?
Yes.
You can't hear the word and not have faith come. And the more you hear it, the more faith comes, right? What if you never heard the word concerning something? Well, then you wouldn't be able to reap from it, would you? Right? So you should rejoice when you hear the word. Anyway, so Luke chapter 12, did I tell you that? Probably not. Luke chapter 12. Whoo, hallelujah. Put this over here. It's going to be rattling around in my pocket. Glory be to God. Luke chapter 12. Are you there? Did you find it?
Yes.
The Holy Ghost is God in the earth today. And you walk with him by saying words. That's how it goes. That's how you do it. Well, how do I walk with God in the earth today? By saying words. And you can get good at it. Say, I can get good at it.
I can get good at it.
Or you can just be real bad at it. Right?
Yes.
But you want to be good at it because he's God. And he's looking out for your benefit. You see? So Luke chapter 12. And then let's... Do I want to read all of this? Let's look at verse. Well, let's look at verse 41. Are you here? You got time for this? Luke, or you gotta get home. Luke chapter 12, verse 41. Then Peter said unto him, Lord, speakest thou this parable unto us, or even to all? And the Lord said, No, just to that one guy. Doesn't apply to you at all. Is that what he said? And they're like, oh, good. He says, verse 42, and the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them their portion of meat in due season? Sounds pretty good, right? Blessed is that servant. Say, blessed. Who is that any good? What do we know about the blessing of the Lord? It makes you rich. It makes you rich. It can't not make you rich. It'll stay on you and hover around you until you are rich, and it won't shut off until you are.
Right.
Are you here?
Yes.
Anyway, lest I get distracted, verse 43, blessed is that servant that he whom his Lord, when he comes, shall find so doing. Say doing. See, you got to be a doer. Of a truth, I say to you that he will make him ruler over all that he has. And if that servant say in his heart, my Lord delays his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and maidens. Well, that doesn't sound good. And to eat and drink and to be drunken. Not good either, right? The Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looks not for him, and at an hour which he's not aware, and will cut him in sunder. None of this sounds good. And will appoint him his portion with the who?
Unbelievers.
Well, that's not what I wanted to hear. Verse 47, and that servant which knew his Lord's will. Now this is a sorry state for most believers, because they know more than they're doing. Are you here? I hope you like this message so far, because I have a lot to say today. We have been given a lot. We've been given a lot of revelation that most people don't have. They hear it and they go, ah, too much. Right? It tilts them. Do you know what that means? Like when you're doing what are those called? The pinball machines, right? You bump it too hard and it just stops. The whole thing shuts down. And you're like, eh, I want my quarterback.
Yeah.
but we've been given a lot. And that's really where I'm going with this, so don't, you know, don't be thinking I'm gonna try to get you cast out with the unbelievers. That's not my point here. The Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looks not for him. Why would that be? Because he's not looking for him, is he? He's totally going in the wrong direction. Mm-hmm. He's not intentionally coming when he's not looking for him. He's just not looking for him anymore. Mm-hmm. And at an hour when he's not aware, is he going to be aware? No, he's unaware all the time. Mm-hmm. Don't be unaware. Mm-hmm. Mm. This I'm preaching the good news. I hope you know that. Mm-hmm. And an hour when he's not aware, and will cut him asunder and appoint him with the portion of the unbelievers. Verse 47, and that servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. Is this in your Bible?
Yes.
Did Jesus say this? Mm-hmm. I think I might be reading the wrong translation, because this doesn't sound right, but it is. But he that knew not and did not commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten. Say, shall be beaten.
Shall be beaten.
He still shall be beaten, but with a few stripes. Why? Because he didn't know it. Mm-hmm. Are you here?
Yes.
We're trying to get down to the end. I can't believe I'm reading all this stuff. I was just going to go right to the verse. And he said, it shall be beaten, but he, where did I leave off? 48, but he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required. Are you here?
Yes.
Do you wish this wasn't in the Bible? On some levels you do, right? Because you're like, ah, I know a lot. We know a lot, we've received a lot, which, what does that mean according to the scriptures? That I'm going to be held accountable to that standard and not some other standard that maybe, you know, somebody that just got born again in the Baptist church may be held to, right? Are you here? Does this make sense?
Yes.
Am I reading scriptures?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Because it's not bad news, it's just saying I'm required for more, but frankly, I get blessed with more if I do it. Remember, he said, if he does it, or if he doesn't do the Lord's will. You gotta do it. Say, you gotta do it. You gotta do the Lord's will, and once you know the Lord's will, you got to duns do's it. Does that make more sense? If I know I should speak in tongues every day, what if I don't? And it looks like beatings are coming my way. It doesn't mean he's going to sit there and beat you, but it means that things, the world, see, because you're being held to a higher level, a higher standard. And when you drop that, you've got those level devils coming at you, those level problems that it's not a problem for you to overcome when you're at that level. You hear? Mm-hmm. You know, like waves of the sea. You know, you like the big waves because they're fun to play in. But if they're over your head, you got to be aware of them. You got to be prepared for them. Otherwise, they come in and it's whoosh, right? Mm-hmm. You go, ah, I just don't want to now. I'm going to be down on my knees and just crawl around like a little baby. Say, right? No, you don't want to say that. Right? What's going to happen to you? You're going to be pummeled, right? And then the lifeguards are going to have to blow their whistle and come get you. Drag you out. Are you here? Don't you want to play with the big boys? Say, I want to play with the big boys. Well, that's what happens. You should be growing up. You understand? And grown-ups are supposed to deal with things in a different way than little babies do. Right?
Right.
Is this fun? Or anyway, now 40, he that knew not, did not commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with a few stripes. But for unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall, say, of him.
Of him.
He's been given something, and then of the person is going to be required something. God's not requiring something from people that weren't given something. Is this making sense? That's really all I'm trying to get to.
Yeah.
I apologize for reading all that other stuff. But you understand? It fits. Mm-hmm. The context fits. Isn't that amazing? Mm-hmm. Jesus put this, to whomsoever much is given, much shall be required, into context.
Yes.
And Peter's like, doesn't this apply to just them? And he says, whomsoever. Mm-hmm. Are you here? Mm-hmm. Now, this is a good message. If, guess what? If you know something you should do, what should you do? Yeah. That thing. Is this rocket science?
No.
It's not brain science. It's not rocket surgery. It's neither one of those things. It's simply you do. That's what he's saying. Faithful servant. Sometimes the faithful servant doesn't have to be the most brilliant or best looking one. He just has to be faithful to do what he knows to do. Mm-hmm. Are you here?
Yes.
Anyway. For unto whomsoever much is given, say much.
Much.
Do you want much? You know, because a lot of people, and I've heard this, you've heard it too, I think we've even discussed it. A lot of people are like, well, I don't want to know about that because then I won't be held responsible for it. That's why a lot of people with healing, they don't want to receive the healing message because then they're responsible to believe it for themselves and to pray for the sick and believe God is going to heal. Can you understand that?
Yeah.
So they just reject that message out of hand. If I reject the message that all men should be filled with the Holy Ghost and speak with other tongues, then I don't have to speak in tongues, do I? Ha, 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 ha. Wrong. He's still going to be beaten with a few stripes, mm-hmm. if you ask me.
Yep.
Yeah, because he already knows about it. Mm-hmm. Are you here?
Mm-hmm.
All right. But the answer is not to know less. The answer is to know more. Know more about God. Know how to walk with God. Know how to speak with God. Know how to have faith and to have victory in the earth. Is he going to teach you that? The Lord my God teaches me to profit, leads me by the way that I should go. He does these things. He doesn't want you to fail. And he doesn't want you to be a baby. I don't know how I got into all of that. But anyway. Unto whomsoever much is given, much shall be required. And of whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. Are you here? So anyway, we've been given much. That was my point. Sometimes I wish I just read that. But the point is, you're required to live by the revelation you have. Is that too difficult to understand? And we've been given a lot of revelation. We're like laden, dripping with revelation. So much so, you try to spoon feed someone some of it, and they're like, "Ooh, goodness, what's going on there? I can't handle it. Can't handle it." The Holy Ghost is God in the earth today. You walk with Him by saying words. Massive amount of revelation. It took a lot of effort. It took a lot of praying in tongues. It took a lot of believing God, right? It took a lot of fasting to get that message so refined and into the earth. And most people reject it because they can't handle it. Look at it. Mm-hmm. Holy Ghost. Who's God in the earth today? Holy Ghost. How do you walk with Him? Saying words, speaking in agreement with Him. Mm-hmm. Now, if you have that revelation, what are you going to be held to? That standard. If you veer from that, what's going to happen? Then you're outside. Don't go outside, stay inside. You know, I'll say this many times, I will never say out my mouth of some kind of lack. I'll say God supplies all my needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. Are you here? Mm-hmm. I'm not getting on anybody if they've said anything else, but you've got to learn to come to that place where that's the only thing that will come out of your mouth, because that's where you're at. You've come to that place, you see that. You understand?
Yes.
How about I'm feeling sick today? I only say that because I'm trying to get a point across. But I'd never say that. I never have 6 days. I never feel sick because I'm healed. And according to the Word of God, by Jesus' stripes, I was healed. Sickness cannot stay in my body. And I'm getting younger every day because my youth is being renewed. Are you here? Am I ever going to say anything other than that?
Yeah.
No. Why? Because I'm walking with God the Holy Ghost, who quickens my physical body and heals me. You see? You see? You see? What do I want to go outside of that? Don't go outside of that. Oh, goodness. So, to whom much is given, much is required. But it does you no good if you don't do it. Right? Well, we've been given many things, one of which I've already said, the Holy Ghost is God in the earth today, and you walk with him by saying words. That is no small revelation. It might seem like a small number of words, but it's no small revelation. It's a huge revelation. It's who you are. It's where you are in the earth today, right? Mm-hmm. When you wake up in the morning, who's God in the earth today?
The Holy Ghost.
If you're going to walk with him, how's it going to be? By saying words. It's no small revelation. Now, to some, this has no value. They put no value on it. They're like, I think I'll just go about my way, do my own thing, even though they've had that revelation. Are you here? Mm-hmm. But if that's the case, then you just don't get it yet. You haven't got it. Mm-hmm. Hang in there. You'll get it. Mm-hmm. Holy Ghost is God in the earth today. You walk with him by saying words, right? Others, to others, it's everything. To some people, they put no value on it, little value, they go. But to others, it is everything. It's literally life. It's literally, and it literally is life. Mm-hmm. If you have zero value placed on that revelation, you will get zero benefit from it. Does that make sense? That message wasn't cheap. It came by paying prices. You understand that?
Yes.
Some of the price is when you receive something from God that's not being held by other people, it puts you outside of their camp. Is that a price to pay?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They no longer like you as much as they did before because you're preaching something they're not preaching. And what you're preaching sort of makes them look sort of wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to immediately knee-jerk and say, you're wrong. And I say, chapter and verse. Are you here? So we've been given many things, one of which is the knowledge of the Holy Ghost is God in the earth today, and you walk with him by saying words. It's no small thing. Are you here? We also have been given a greater understanding of faith because of that. I hope you can understand that. Because we worship the Holy Ghost, who is the teacher, who is God in the earth today. He is the source of all anointings and all gifts, right? He gives us a greater understanding of faith, how faith works. Number one of which, by saying words. Now you got to understand, not everybody has this. Not everybody has this greater understanding of how faith works. Are they going to be held to the same standard? No, but you are. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Isaiah 55. Let's go to a couple scriptures here. Yeah, but they don't do it. They're not you. Right? You want to please God? You're going to have to be faithful and walk in the level to which he has brought you to.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
What if, you know, you're in swimming lessons and they knew you could swim as well as a guppy, but you wanted to swim with the minnows? Is one worse than the other? I don't know. Right? Right? What is? Minnows are better? Or what, you know, with the whales? No, you don't want them. That's the fat group. But you understand? But you go, you know, you're graduated, the teacher knows how you swim, you know, and you're supposed to graduate to the next level, but you go in there and all you want to do is doggy paddle, you know, and you don't want to get your face wet, you don't want to put it under the waters, right?
Mm-hmm.
What is she going to do to you? You're going to be required to do what you know to do. You understand? If you want to progress, just don't go to the whales. Because they do, you know, the jazzercise in the water. Splash, splash. All right. That's enough. Leave that there. Isaiah 55. Quick, read a scripture. Isaiah chapter 55. Are you here? We're talking about having a greater understanding of faith, and not everybody has this greater understanding of faith. And if you have a greater understanding of faith, you are responsible to do it that way, right? Verse 9, Isaiah 55, verse 9, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, my thoughts than your thoughts, for as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and returns not thither, but waters the earth and makes it, say makes it, makes it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Verse 11, so shall my word be, right? That goes forth out of my mouth, it, what, his word, shall not return to him void or empty, but it, his word, shall accomplish that which he pleases, and it, what, his word, shall prosper. Where did he send his word? Into the earth, and it's not going to come back to him void of prosperity, right? It will prosper. It will prosper, what did he say? In the thing whereunto I sent it. So every word of God has within it the ability to bring itself to pass. Amen. You don't have to get yourself healed. You have a healing word that will heal you if you do the right thing with it. There's healing power in the healing words of Scripture. There's prospering power in the prospering words of Scripture. There's the DNA of whatever he said in every verse of Scripture that will cause it to come to pass. Do you understand that?
Yes.
We have to say it. We have to believe it. We have to do it. The power is in the verse of Scripture. My God supplies all my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus is not a powerless verse of Scripture. It has everything in it to bring itself to pass. But you have to say it. What happens when you say it? Faith comes. Why? Because you hear it. I said it, and then I heard it, and faith came. And so I'll say it again, and more faith came. I'll say it again. So I'm saying it, I'm a believing it, and then I have to do it. Many times the doing is simply the saying. You understand? That's all that needs to be done. But other times, there's other verses of Scripture, you have to do it if you want the result. Are you here? But every verse of Scripture can produce itself in your life. Are you here?
Yes.
Say this, every word of God,
has the ability
to bring itself
to pass
in my life.
You see
that? That is a higher level of faith than most people have ever even heard or stand on. Even in a lot of word of faith circles, they haven't taken it that far. But it does no good for you if you don't do it. If you don't do the saying, the hearing, and the doing. Might as well turn there. You're quick. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. When you get there, tell me what verse we're going to read.
Yeah.
2 Corinthians. It's right after 1 Corinthians.
Mm-hmm.
2 Corinthians chapter 1. And then what verse?
20.
Very good. For all the promises of God, what would that be? Those would be scriptures, right? Mm-hmm. All the promises of God in him are yay. Say yay.
Yay.
Who else said yay? God is the one saying yay,
yeah.
Right? Are you in agreement with God when you say yay?
Yes.
Or are you in agreement with God when you say nay? No, you're in agreement. Yay. This verse of Scripture. All the promises of God in him are yes, and in him amen, meaning we say the so be it. Look at that. Unto the glory of God by us. We're working together with him. All the promises. Say all the promises.
All the promises.
Except for the good ones. No, all the promises, meaning they have the power in themselves to bring themselves to pass. That's good news. Are you getting this? So words, promises concerning prosperity will produce in your life what? Lack? Stubbornness? Sickness? No. What prosperity scriptures in your life will produce prosperity. right? Mm-hmm. Healing scriptures. If I meditate on healing scriptures and I say healing scriptures and I speak healing scriptures and I act out healing scriptures, what does it produce in my life?
Healing.
The healing power of God, it's in the verses itself. How about youth renewal scriptures? What is that going to produce? It has the power in itself to renew your youth. Is this any good?
Yes.
Now, what if you know about these things? Are you responsible to believe them, to say them, and to act on them, to do them, James said, right? James 1:22, we won't turn there. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. You got to do it. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yes.
Deceiving your own self. So I'm not deceiving you. You're being deceived by yourself because you're not doing what you know you're supposed to do. Mm-hmm. We already read that verse of scripture. You're held to a higher standard. You're held to that standard. Anyway. Mm-hmm. So we have a greater understanding of faith than most people. Are you getting this? Holy Ghost is God in the earth today, and we have a greater understanding of faith than most people. Are we held to those two things? Should we be walking in the truth that the Holy Ghost is God in the earth today, and we walk with him by saying for words and walking in a greater measure of faith? Mm-hmm. Yes. We've been given those things that a lot of people haven't. Where'd we get them from? The Holy Ghost. From paying prices, from going on. That's the problem. I've laughed about this. I remember way back when we different buildings, and I'd say, how far do you want to go? And everyone in there said, all the way. Where are they? I guess they went all the way away. They didn't want to go all the way. As soon as another thing required of them came about, they didn't want to do it. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't believe it that way. I believe it the old way. Anyway, so are you here? So greater measure of faith. We've also been given, it's kind of like a clip show. I'm trying to take you through some stuff so you can see what we've been given, where we've come from, and we're at a place because these are the things we're responsible for, and these are the things that we can benefit from. Do you understand that? You get to benefit more than people who don't understand that or haven't had that revelation. You get to benefit by the greater faith, the operation of greater faith, right?
Mm-hmm.
You get to benefit by walking with the Holy Ghost as God in the earth today, walking by saying words. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
He says to me, use the words, I worship you, Holy Ghost. Do you remember that? You have to use the words, I worship you, Holy Ghost. What's he trying to do? He's trying to take you to a different place. It's a new diversity of operations. What's that mean? It does something different.
Mm-hmm.
It takes you to a different place.
Mm-hmm.
If God gives you a word that says, use the words, I worship you, Holy Ghost, what should you do? Use the words, I worship you, Holy Ghost. And the diversity of operations will begin to take place in you, and you'll be changed by those words and the power in those words. Are you here?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we know how we got here. How we got where? To worshiping the Holy Ghost. Do you know where here is? Here is you worshiping the Holy Ghost. Do you know where it, worshiping the Holy Ghost, is taking you? You mentioned it earlier. Turning you, and what it does, it's turning you into a living temple of the living God that he can manifest himself in. What do you mean manifest himself? The Holy Ghost, who is a person, wants to manifest himself. How he lives, how he thinks, how he acts. How he does things. Are you here?
Mm-hmm.
Holy Ghost is God in the earth today. You walk with him by saying words. I worship you, Holy Ghost. Those are words.
Mm-hmm.
What should a temple do? Worship the living God. The living God is the Holy Ghost. You know how you got here. Mm-hmm. So he transforms you with these words, I worship you, Holy Ghost, into a living temple. You got a problem with that?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I wonder. Say, I'm a temple of the living God, and I walk with him in the earth. His desire is to manifest himself in his temple. Are you getting this? You see where it's taking you. So you got to be a doer of the word. Go to 1 Corinthians. I think we were in 2 Corinthians, right? So that's real close. 1 Corinthians chapter, oh goodness. Oh, that's Romans. That's why it looks wrong. I went too far. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Whoo, hallelujah. Glory be to God forever. Let's look at verse 19. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? Say, my body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Am I lying to you?
No.
Right? Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God. You are not your own, for you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. And that word glorify can include prosperity. Do you understand that? So it's not all about you, it's about him. Does sickness glorify God? Whole other message here, but you can understand it doesn't. How about death? Does death glorify? No. How about poverty? Does poverty glorify God?
No.
Did anybody go, whoo, God, thank you for making me so broke? Did they say that?
No.
No. They, when they have more than enough, they go, hey, God, whoo, glory be to God. All you got to do is watch for the glory be to God when that comes out. Are you here?
Yes.
Talking about things that we're responsible for. Use the words, I worship you, Holy Ghost. You have not used them enough. Are you talking to me? Yes, and I'm also talking to me. Are you here? Right? You've not used them enough. Half transformation isn't good for anything. Like a half-baked cake. Who wants to eat that? I like liquid cake. You understand, half baked, half transformed doesn't do anything for you, right? Half transformed into what? Someone who is a temple, who worships the living God. He transforms you so he can manifest himself. But you got to worship him enough to have that transformation take place so he can get rid of all the goofiness out of you. Oh, I don't have any goofiness in me. Look in the mirror. There's a lot of goofiness. And he wants to get it out of you so that when you look at his image, you see him. Are you here?
Yep.
He wants to manifest himself. You've not used those words enough. Lukewarm. What did Jesus say about somebody being lukewarm? And that could have, that applies to all the scriptures. I guess that, you know, some people go, you know, they'll mental ascend to something and say, like this message of, you know, you being a Holy Ghost worshiper, a temple of the living God. They'll mentally ascend to it and they'll go, yeah, I guess I could see that. What are they doing? They're just trying to manage it in their mind so they can compartmentalize it rather than using the words, I worship you, Holy Ghost, until they're transformed into his image. Are you here? Lukewarm, Jesus said he'd puke them out of his mouth, right? Anyway, using the words, I worship you, Holy Ghost, separates you as a temple of God. Are you getting this? See, these are things that we've been given that frankly a lot of people other haven't, and they're not going to be held to that responsibility for it. But God's trying to get this message into the earth. Therefore, you need to use the words, I worship you, Holy Ghost, more. Without it, you're no different than anyone else. Do you like that? He gave you those words to make you different, make you peculiar, to make you special, right? To him, so he can manifest himself. and it'll totally change your thinking. Why? Because he's the teacher. He renews your mind. You'll hear people say, I'm a new Christian and I walk with Jesus. I've received Jesus in my heart and I walk with him. And I go, oh, that's nice for babies, right? Because it's not the truth. When they begin to worship the Holy Ghost, they will realize they're walking with the living God. Are you here? And Jesus is coming back. Jesus went away. Because even when I say it, you can feel the, you know, you can feel the because it's so been ingrained in people, it needs to be driven out. It's not true. Living God is the Holy Ghost. You are the temple of the living God, and you walk with him in the earth by saying words. I worship you. Holy Ghost transforms you into a temple so he can and will manifest himself in you. Can you see that's where God wants to go with us? That's where the direction is taking us. God manifesting himself in you. We're getting there. Hashtag getting there. Hashtag much given. Hashtag much required. Does this make more sense now? Yes, finally. You got to put the hashtags in there. Otherwise, I don't know what's going on. Oh, now I know. Much has been given. We know that the Holy Ghost is God in the earth today, and we walk with him by saying words. We know about a greater measure of faith and how to walk by faith in a greater measure, right? We know the use of I worship you, Holy Ghost, and what it does. It's a different operation. It's a diversity of operations. But that's not all. But wait, there's more. You're like, more. Guess what happens when you keep going on with God? He gives you more. But to whom much is given, much is required. To whom has more, shall more be required. Do you understand?
Yes.
And it's not that God's trying to dump so much on you that he buries you. He's trying to get you to come up to a level where he wants everybody to go. He might just be calling you to go first. You know, with the whales, somebody's got to get in the water first.
Quick, read a scripture.
Hebrews chapter 6. I don't know, I guess you can turn there. We'll go real quick. Are you seeing this? To whom much is given, much is required. We've been given much, and therefore we're being required of much. And guess what happens when you do the much? You get some more. Is that a bad thing? It's only bad if people are trying to look for a way to get out of it. I'm not looking for a way to get out of it. I'm looking for a way to be changed from glory to the next level of glory. Mm-hmm. Right? You think I'm radical now? I'm going to get more radical. Why? Because the Holy Ghost. I would be more. I would only be happy if I just looked like the Holy Ghost, acted like the Holy Ghost, walked like the Holy Ghost, talked like the Holy Ghost, lived like the Holy Ghost, dressed like the Holy Ghost. Well, brother, he wouldn't look or dress anything like that. Well, how do you know? Right? Yeah, brother. Hebrews chapter 6. Did you find it? Mm-hmm. Let's look at verse 4. For it's impossible for those who are once enlightened. Say, once enlightened.
Once enlightened.
Yeah. And have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost. Is that you? Have you been made a partaker of the Holy Ghost? Yes. Remember, you're a temple of the living God. The Holy Ghost dwells in you. And have tasted the good word of God and the what? Powers of the world to come. Where are you going? World to come means the future. We're all going to the future. You're not going to the past, man. We're going to the future, the powers of the world to come. The Bible says we're supposed to be tasting of those things. And I have been bringing them to you by revelation, and you're going to be held responsible for it. And a lot of people are like, oh, quick, turn the tape off. What are some of the powers of the world to come? Here it says, partakers of the Holy Ghost, powers of the world to come. And where do those powers come from? You know this if you've been around here at all. It's through the room of Holy Ghost worship, where you're partaking of His personality and His stuff, right? There's a lot going on in that room of Holy Ghost worship. And what's He giving you? Powers of the world it was. No, He's powers of the world to come. He's trying to bring them to you so you can use them and be blessed by them. Romans chapter 8. I'll just go through these real quick. Why? Because we're being held responsible for all of these things. We've been given so many things. Hashtag much given. Hashtag much required. Romans 8. You know, or if you're like me, my age, you know, you go, oh, you mean checkerboard? Yeah, checkerboard. Or pound sign. Remember the pound sign? Yeah, that doesn't exist anymore. Anyway, so Hebrews chapter, I said that, Romans chapter 8, verse 11. If the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead, the spirit of him, who's that? The Holy Ghost. If the Holy Ghost that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, do He?
Yes.
Does He? Yes, He dwells in you. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also, is shall pretty solid?
Yeah.
Shall also quicken or make alive your mortal bodies or your physical body, mm-hmm. right? By His Spirit that dwells in you. That make alive means the same word to where we get everlasting life from.
Mm-hmm.
What do we know about the powers of the world to come? Is there youth renewal in heaven? Mm-hmm. There has to be. It's a power of the world to come. And when you worship the Holy Ghost, the Bible says He quickens you, right?
Mm-hmm.
Your physical body with that same power. Youth renewal. You mad at me now? Youth renewal is something we've been given. If you go online and you type in youth renewal, you might find not much, but you'll find us there preaching on youth renewal because we've been given that message. You should be happy about it. But you're not happy about it unless you do it, unless you receive it and say it and believe it and do it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Youth renewal. He quickens you. He makes you alive, your mortal, your physical body. Are you still here?
Mm-hmm.
Can you find Joel quick, you think?
Mm-hmm.
Glory be to God forever. Joel. Amos comes right after that. What does Amos 3:3 say? Can two walk together except they be agreed? Is that in your Bible? Yeah. So let's look at Joel. Glory be to God forever. Joel chapter 2. And let's look at verse 25. Are you here?
Mm-hmm.
I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten. Is that in your Bible? Are all the promises of God yes and amen?
Yes.
Is this a promise of God? I will restore to you the years. Say years.
Years.
What is years? It's a measure of time. We walk with the Holy Ghost. We walk by faith. And He restores years to us. Are you here? What is that? That's youth renewal. Now, every cell in your body, I hope you're still here, every cell in your body has a clock in it. You could call it a cellular clock, but I realized when I started calling it a cellular clock, people's eyes would glass over because they're thinking of their cell phone. Their cellular clock. Are you here? God turns back the clock. Imagine this. Have you ever set a clock back an hour?
Mm-hmm.
What did you have to do? You had to turn it. Sometimes you have to turn it quite a bit until it goes back, right? An hour. What if you had to turn it back a day? How long are you gonna have to do this? Quite a bit. You ever have a watch that the that the calendar date wouldn't work, and so you had to go all the way through 24 hours to get it to click once, and you're like, I gotta go do 24 more of these. Are you here? The Bible says he satisfies your mouth and renews your youth. We use our tongue, according to everything that we know, we use our tongue to access the power of youth renewal. You're setting the clock back with your tongue. How long is that going to take? You got to push the thing back around with your tongue. And he says he'll do it for years. If you had to set your clock back a year, would that take a while? Yeah, but people aren't, I don't want to say it more than once. He renewed my youth. That's all I want to say. No, you got to say it every day. You got to do your due diligence. You got to be a doer of the word. He's giving you youth renewal, but it comes by faith. Do you understand? We've been given a power of the world to come called youth renewal. Anyway, go to Job. Talking about things that we've been given here in this fellowship, in this society that other people don't have, a lot of it is because we worship the Holy Ghost and he's giving us access to the powers of the world to come. Job. Here, Job. Job chapter 33. Is this any good? Well, I don't want to hear about youth renewal. Then you won't be bothered by it. Right? But if you want to hear about it, you can partake in it. I'm telling you, there's nothing as great as knowing that God set your clock back a little bit. God does that. Does God do this? I don't have time to preach the whole message of youth renewal, but do you remember Abraham and Sarah? Father and mother, you could say, of our faith. What was the one thing he did to them above all other things? He renewed their youth. And we're like, oh, well, no. No, that's part of what faith does. Are you here? That's what God does. Anyway, did you find it? Job 33. Let's look at verse 25. Let's look at verse 24. Job 33:24. Then is he gracious unto him and say, delivers him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom. A lot of translations and some people in the, you know, the center reference column there will say, atonement. I have found the atonement. What's the atonement? Jesus. The blood of Jesus is the atonement for us. Do you understand? If there's youth renewal in heaven, then he had to pay for it for us to have it, and we can experience it here and now in this earth. Do you understand? I have found the atonement. His flesh shall be. His flesh. What's the flesh? That's your physical body. His flesh shall be fresher than a child's and shall return. What's that mean? Turns back. Go, return to the days of its youth. What shall? His physical body. Is there youth renewal available in the atonement? Is it a power of the world to come? Yes, it's in the atonement. It's a power of the world to come. How far can it go? Unless this scripture is just lying to you, you can return back to your youth. It's available, but just because the promise is available doesn't mean you're going to be in it. You know, you have to be a diligent doer of the word, and you can experience the powers of the world to come. Anyway, are you getting any of this? I'm talking about things that we've been given here, and a lot of sicknesses and diseases don't require healing; they require youth renewal. Anyway, then I preached on, and I won't get into it tonight, but the power of no lack is also something that is available. It is something that everybody has in heaven. There is no lack in heaven. Do you understand that? But it's a power of the world to come. It can come on you. We can access it now. Say, I have no lack. My youth is renewed. Well, you keep doing that, you're putting the clock back. Keep doing it until it goes back years. Say years. Does that require commitment? I mean, you walk around the side. You got a clock that needs to be set back a year. You might have to walk around the house for a while to find somebody that'd be willing to do it. I gotta sit here and do this over and 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 over. I'll be with you in a minute. Over and over and over and over. Right? Welcome to youth renewal. Welcome to how you walk with God. I worship you, Holy Ghost. I worship you, Holy Ghost. I worship you, Holy Ghost. Are you getting this? Anyway, so much has been given, much is required. What did you do about it? That's what God's gonna say. If he gave you something and you did nothing with it, you remember the talents? Yeah. I put it in a napkin. It's not what he wanted out of you. He wanted you to use it and to increase, right? We're almost done. Much has been given. God in the earth today, it's a message we have. Are you getting this? Sometimes it takes repetition. Peter said, you know, I stir up your minds by way of remembrance. God in the earth today, you walk with him by saying words. We have a greater measure of faith been giving to us. We use the words, I worship you, Holy Ghost. It's a different operation. We're held responsible for all of these things. How about youth renewal? Do we have it? Do we understand it? Is it something we receive? Is it something we're required to walk in? Listen to me. You will not now fulfill the plan of God unless you walk in the power of youth renewal. But you will if you do. You see, everybody goes, oh, I won't be able to do it. I won't be able to do it unless you won't be able to do it unless you walk in the prosperity God has for you. Doesn't that make sense? Mm-hmm. How about the health God has for you? Mm-hmm. Say, I'm healed. Sickness can't stay in my body. I call my body's youth renewed. You got to do that every day, and that's how you walk with God and you worship him. We're almost done. It's okay, you know, people need to hear this. I know some guys, they'll preach for an hour and a half. I haven't done that yet, and sometimes they don't have nearly as much information. I'm giving you a lot of stuff tonight. You understand that? We're almost done here. One last thing I'm trying to get across. We talked about God in the earth today having a greater measure of faith. Using the words, I worship you, Holy Ghost, makes you a temple of God, right? Mm-hmm. Youth renewal and the power of no lack. Those are powers of the world to come. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Are you held responsible for all of these things? Yes, you should be excited about it. I know we're not all there right now, but we're learning greater and more as we apply ourselves to it. Mm-hmm. We will experience more and more, greater and greater, better and better, yes. Right? We go from good to acceptable to perfect. A lot of people just want to go from the good to mediocre and then back to the good, and then it's okay, and then, well, they die eventually. Right? Is that the way we want to be? No. Romans chapter 8. Let's look at verse 26. You still here? Romans chapter 8 verse 26. Likewise the Spirit, who are we talking about?
The Holy Ghost.
Holy Ghost. Likewise the Holy Ghost also helps our infirmities. Infirmities, number one, means sicknesses. Mm-hmm. It can mean lack, it means deficiency, it means where you've missed it. Mm-hmm. So he's going to help you there where you missed it. Have you ever missed it? Yeah, I missed it probably today several times, right? I need his help. Mm-hmm. Say, I need his help.
I need his help.
Well, he's going to show you. Wouldn't it be great if he showed us how he was going to help? Look at this. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our weaknesses, inabilities, lacks, shortcomings, sicknesses. For we know not what we should pray for or say for. You understand this, right? Mm-hmm. We don't know what to say for as we ought. Why? Because we don't see the future. We don't even know half the time what we need to know. But he helps us to say for as we ought. Mm-hmm. Are you getting this? Yeah. But the Spirit himself, is a better translation, makes intercession for us. Intercession means he prays for us, he speaks. This is the best part. Mm-hmm. He speaks for us with groanings. Now, we all understand that to walk in a greater measure of faith, we need to be saying the right things, right? But here it says he helps us to say the right thing beyond what we know. How does he do it? With groanings. And every biblical scholar knows that means what? With speaking in other tongues. And if you would put a period there, because it will really help you out. It says, but the Holy Ghost, the Spirit himself, makes intercession, or speaks on our behalf, like an advocate, like a lawyer. How would they do? You'd sit there and he would get up and he would advocate for you. He would speak on your behalf, right? And if he's a good one, if he's a good lawyer, he'll get you off the charges, right? Or he'll get the settlement to come to you. He speaks on our behalf. He makes intercession for us with groanings. Those things which we couldn't utter. Are you getting this? I'm really trying to get up to this next part. Maybe I should have read that first. Speaks to us on our behalf that which we couldn't utter. And he that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Who makes intercession for you? The Holy Ghost makes intercession for you. He speaks on your behalf according to the will of God. When does all this happen? With the groanings, when you're speaking in other tongues. Look right back up there, verse 27, and he that searches the hearts, or he that searches his heart, knows what is the mind of the Spirit, knows what is the will of God. When do you know, and when does the mind of the Spirit become revealed to you? When you're speaking in other tongues, because he's speaking with you, you're speaking with him, the will of God. It's as much better than I think you think it is. I realize it's a lot, but I'm talking about things that we're responsible for. Are you here? And these things in this church, this is what we've been given. We're responsible for it. So, and then verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good. Who knows that all things work together for good?
We know.
We know when he's able to speak these things through us. We know the will of God, it's revealed to us, and we know that all things work together for good. We know the power of all things working together for good. Say, I know the power of all things working together for good. Is that any good?
Yes.
Do I know the will of God?
Yes.
Yeah. When I've spoken in tongues enough. You understand? I know the will of God. If I speak enough in other tongues, I'll know what is the mind of the Spirit. If I speak in tongues enough, I'll have the power of all things working together for good for me. Are you here? Have we been given this revelation? I'm telling you again, I've been in Word of Faith circles and Pentecostal circles for years, and they've never brought that out. Anyway, I'm telling you, these are things that we're responsible for. There's a massive amount of revelation here. I can't get into it all. But number one, he speaks on my behalf. When I'm walking with him, which I do every day, and I speak in other tongues, one of the things that happens is he speaks on my behalf the will of God. Imagine that. I'm speaking in tongues, and he speaks through me the will of God. Is there any benefit to that? Yes, because when I search my heart, I can know what is the will of God, and I know that the power of God is making all things work together for good for me. Are you here? Praying in tongues is asking for help. I'm almost done, literally. Are you here? God help me. You ever said that? God help me. I said it today. God help me. Right? Speaking in tongues is asking for help. He helpeth. He helpeth. Read it again. Verse 26. Likewise the Spirit, what? Also helpeth your weaknesses. Whatever you're weak in. Whatever you need help in, he helpeth. How? By speaking in other tongues. Praying in tongues is asking for help, right? And I'm saying his words when I'm speaking in tongues, and I walk with him by speaking in other tongues. He's able to say the perfect will of God and the perfect plan of God, and if I do it enough, I can know the plan of God, I can know the perfect will of God, and I know the power of all things working together for good for me. I see a lot of people read that verse of scripture and they'll go, well, we know that all things work together for good for them that love God. Don't they say that? They don't know what we're talking about. They don't actually know the power of it coming to pass, but you do, and we're required to walk in this power. Mm-hmm. You understand that? Mm-hmm. Is this any good? Yes, I just wish it was shorter. Now remember what comes after the saying. Acts chapter 1 verse 8, the power comes after the saying. Yes, the doing, but the power comes after the saying. When we're speaking in other tongues, what comes after the saying? The power of all things working together for good. Are you here? So the power comes after the saying. If I speak in tongues, what can I expect? The power to come. Can I expect to know the will of God? Yep. And can I expect to have all things work together for good for me? Yes, according to the Word of God, right? Mm-hmm. You just need to do it more, you need to do it enough. It's something that we've been given along with all of the other things. We've been given the ability to speak in other tongues and have all things work together for good for me. Say that. All things. Work together for good. For me. How do you get that to happen? By speaking in other tongues. I want you all stand up for a second. We'll pray in tongues a little bit. We'll speak in tongues for a second. But it goes on down to say here, it says, what shall we say to these things? What are we going to say to these things? I'll tell you what we're going to say. Speak in tongues for a bit. Head of a coast. Blejen daig de oka la krusta. Frejos. Blesde. Grojdes. Increase Holy Ghost. People's ability to speak more fluently and more articulately. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Ha ha ha. Gujin. Mek tori hega blow de dobus. A fraitare. A krusona. A mandidios. Ebru chita le gling saman. Rog dobeshe te fresim saj. De bastres. De vistros. De brast. This now say all things. work together for good for me. Pray in tongues. Fote boshak damdo liege rakista doba non kato kitsaide de bebo bale brevista brobidisto prastatisce. Say all things. work together for good for me. Speak in tongues. Boche Dabas, Dodabis, Fahate, Closed, Green, Zundang, Dong, Bagva, Ake, Heke, Hiki, Huki, Ha Ha, Hoo! Say all things. Work together for good. For me. Right now, in Jesus' name. Well, glory be to God. That's how you do it. What happens? Things start working together for good for you. That's how it works, and you get to know the will of God. Let me pray for you. Holy Ghost, I thank you for these people that have joined us today. Let them be blessed, and the Holy Ghost, I ask you to come upon them and anoint them so that they may be able to walk with you in a greater, deeper understanding as a temple of the living God. I worship you, Holy Ghost, in Jesus' name. Amen.
personality. Person who talks with you and me. Speaks the word to set you free. Here's my new reality. Holy Ghost, we love you. Say this after me. I worship you.
I worship you.
Holy Ghost,
Holy Ghost.
You are God in the earth today.
In the earth today.
And I walk with you.
And I walk with
by
you.
By saying words.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.